The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Former Mayor of London and ex-Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson has warned the Conservative inheriting a minority government. He beat Jeremy Hunt comfortably, winning 92,153 votes to his rival's 46,656. In typical Boris fashion, he gave a light-hearted acceptance speech and reminded people of his campaign mantra. Have a listen to what he said.
It is deliver Brexit, unite the country and defeat Jeremy Corbyn. And that is what we're going to do. And I know some wag was already pointed out that deliver, unite and defeat was not the perfect acronym for an election campaign, since unfortunately it spells dud. But they forgot the final E, my friends. E for energise. And I say to all the doubters, dude, we are going to energise the country. We're going to get Brexit done on October the 31st. We're going to take advantage of all the opportunities that it will bring in a new spirit of can-do. And we are once again going to believe in ourselves and what we can achieve. And like some slumbering giant, we are going to rise and ping off the guy ropes of self-doubt and negativity with better education, better infrastructure, more police, fantastic full fibre broadband sprouting in every household. We are going to unite this amazing country and we are going to take it forward. I thank you all very much.
I watched that. It was very energising. Incoming British Prime Minister Boris Johnson speaking there in his acceptance speech yesterday. But it's already been a slightly rocky start for Boris. A number of senior figures have said that they will not serve under him, citing their opposition to his stance on Brexit. You'll remember he has pledged the UK will leave the EU on 31st October, do or die, accepting that a no-deal exit will happen if a new agreement cannot be reached by then. US President Donald Trump, he's a fan of Boris Johnson. He told an event in Washington that Boris is a really, really good man and that Johnson is known as Britain's Trump. So what happens next? Well, in a nutshell, outgoing Prime Minister Theresa May will take part in our last Prime Minister's questions and she'll make a short farewell speech outside number 10 before travelling to see the Queen to tender her resignation. Then Boris Johnson will arrive for an audience at Buckingham Palace where he'll be invited to form a government. After that, he'll make a speech at Downing Street before entering the building for the first time as Prime Minister. Later, he will begin announcing his most senior cabinet appointments, talking things like Chancellor, Home Secretary, Foreign Secretary, and he'll even make and take his first calls from other world leaders. Let's get some analysis of all of this. Jingyi, market strategist for IG, is in the studio, so she'll be helping me out with this conversation. And we're joined by Chris Humphrey, executive director at EU ASEAN Business Council. Dude, are you energized?
You couldn't resist, could you?
I couldn't resist. I thought about it the moment he said it, right? Welcome back, in fact. Let's start off with the easiest question of all. In your opinion, do you think Boris can unite the Conservative Party and the country?
I think he's a man who's going to face a number of challenges. He's got a wafer-thin majority in Parliament. Can you unite a country which is bitterly divided by Brexit? That's going to be very, very tough. Can he unite the Tory Party? He's got many different factions within the Tory Party to try and bring together. And a lot of that, the last one, I think, will depend on how his cabinet's going to look when he announces it. If he maintains keeping Jeremy Hunt in the cabinet and a few of the others who are not so hard and fast on Brexit, then he stands a chance of uniting the party. And that has to be his first priority, because unless he has a united party, everything else he wants to do, he can't deliver.
Right, sort of maintaining as close as possible to status quo in that sense where numbers are concerned.
Well, if you're looking about the parliamentary numbers, yeah, he's got a wafer-thin majority. Yeah. He's still dependent on the DUP from Northern Ireland. He's going to have some very militant backbenchers, people who really don't like him. Okay. He's going to be struggling.
Okay. I suppose with every new leader, we always look at first 100 days. What do you think? And really, on the agenda for his first 100 days is October 31st. What else among the million and one things is going to be on his agenda?
Well, I think his first items on his agenda are going to be Brexit, 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 and Brexit. Mm. Because that's where he's positioned himself. But there are a whole number of other things as well he's got to start dealing with. There are problems in the Middle East with Iran to start with.
The tanker situation.
The tanker situation, tensions with Iran over the nuclear deal. And these are things he needs to start thinking about and dealing with. A whole range of domestic stuff. And you heard in his speech there, he was talking about the need to boost education, boost healthcare, boost infrastructure in the UK. If he starts attending dealing with those issues, I think he'll start winning more people around.
A lot of senior Conservatives have already quit since Johnson was announced as PM. Some even talked about quitting it should he be announced, and yeah, reality has happened. How do you think the Cabinet's going to change under Boris Johnson?
Well, that's one of the big things we've got to look at. As I said just now, I think if he's wise and sensible, he'll keep Jeremy Hunt and hopefully keep Jeremy Hunt where he is now, Foreign Secretary.
But how's he going to convince Jeremy Hunt to stay, in your opinion?
At the end of the day, they're all good party men and they want what's best for the party. If he kicks Hunt out, that's another fraction, another division he's got to deal with. So I think keeping Hunt inside is good. And you heard in his acceptance speech, he was holding out olive branches already to Jeremy Hunt in that. The other positions are going to be key. Who is he going to put as the Brexit Secretary to start with? Mm. Who is he going to put as Chancellor? What's he going to do with people that were backing him, like Jacob Rees-Mogg and Steve Baker and David Davis and others? And these are people which can be quite polarising within the party. So he's probably got to offer them something, but maybe nothing too high profile.
All right. In the studio with me this morning is Chris Humphrey, Executive Director at EU ASEAN Business Council. And of course, Pan Jingyi, Market Strategist for IG, is here as well. Jingyi, how have the markets reacted to the news?
It's not very energized.
Okay. That's everyone can't resist today.
So, well, if we look at the currency, evidently there's the pricing of this has gradually happened. And overnight, as the news broke, the pound itself was seen largely fluctuating. One spot 24.45. It's fizzled a little bit to around one spot 24.30 right now for those who are really concerned about the numbers. But really, I think that it's been priced in. He's seen as more of the hard Brexit choice, and therefore the pound itself really been softening true since the last few weeks. So wouldn't be surprised, you know, if it goes further. But for right now, certainly this isn't a surprise outcome.
We have a case really of taking out one uncertainty, which was who's going to lead the UK. Now we have a confirmation that it's Boris Johnson. And we've replaced that with another uncertainty, deal or no deal, with regard to leaving the bloc. So how do you see things moving forward, Jingyi?
So, well, I think, well, Chris, do add in here. So I think the market generally do see there is a situation where Boris Johnson as a person wants to take everyone out by 31st October, and he doesn't want the Irish backstop. And then you have on the other side the EU, who doesn't want to negotiate another deal, and they want to keep the Irish backstop. So seriously, I don't think these two pieces of puzzle can come together in a very amicable way. So the market's really, in a way, seeing the likelihood of further weakness, at least for the pound itself in reaction to this news. 120, I think, is a very strong support for the pound against the US dollar. But I think the market's generally seeing that even that could be broken.
Yeah, well, Gina's got a great point there. The Brexit problem remains. And it's the same problem that was there when Theresa May was Prime Minister as when Boris will take over later today. And they can't resolve that basic problem. The EU will not renegotiate the withdrawal deal. They may talk about the future relationship, but not the withdrawal deal. Boris is saying you've got to renegotiate the withdrawal deal or we'll leave without a deal. Leaving without a deal is bad for everyone. It's bad for Europe, it's bad for the UK, it's bad for other partners around the world as well.
It was an attempt at softening the market earlier this week where he made comments about, okay, if we leave without the deal, we can always negotiate free trade agreements, tech can come into play, but that's got to happen after the UK leaves on October 31st.
But these aren't instant fixes. Yeah. These are things that take a long, long time. Negotiating a trade deal can take years before you get one in place. And you've got to put them in place with all your major partners. And the UK's biggest trading partner, of course, is the EU. If you leave with bad blood, you can't negotiate a good deal if you've got a falling out with your partners.
So Boris Johnson says Britain will leave the EU on October 31st with or without a deal. Let's talk about the impact on business sentiment. Now, Chris, you've been in the studio several times and you've been touching on this subject, but as we near closer to this reality, what are businesses saying?
Businesses are saying what they've always been saying. First of all, most businesses in the UK would say we would rather remain in the EU. It's our biggest trading partner. We want those free flow of goods and services that we currently have. But they're also saying we need some certainty in life. And I think a lot of businesses now have just taken the fact that Brexit's out there, it's going to happen, it's all in their plans. We hope many of them have got plans to deal with Brexit on the day it does happen, and assuming it does happen, and I personally have my doubts about that. But I think a lot of them have just got it all worked out already. And there is certainly a view, particularly in the UK, if can we just get on with this one way or the other? Either kill it or get it done.
But the whole EU-ASEAN relationship really started to uptick when the uncertainty became very clear. Is the optimism still there?
Between Europe and ASEAN, absolutely yes. And that we are in the throes of compiling our latest business sentiment survey. And I can tell you, preliminary data for that is showing extremely strong sentiment from European businesses towards Southeast Asia, and that even stronger than in previous years.
Is it actually possible for Parliament to stop a no-deal Brexit, Chris? Is there any way that this can be stopped at all? I'm sure people out there hope so.
Well, certainly if they can get a majority of MPs to support stopping a no-deal exit, they can always pass motions and they can pass legislation to do it. It would mean the MPs taking control of the legislative agenda, but they can, technically, it can be done.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if they can agree. They did have several indicament votes, I believe it was earlier this year. That didn't go so well. Boris Johnson's cabinet got to choose the next Bank of England appointment after Mark Carney steps down in January next year. We did focus a little on Jeremy Hunt being very important, but how important is this position going to be?
Well, the Bank of England's a very important role because it is independent from the British government. They do set the interest rates. They do provide a lot of guidance for the economy as well, so it's a very key role. And he'll need to find the right person with the right caliber to do it, and Mark Carney will be a hard act to follow.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, as much as he is going to be a hard act to follow, we've seen a lot of pro-Brexit campaigners very critical of him. Mind you, next January, in theory, would be post-Brexit. So the next governor should be a Brexiteer, in your opinion?
The next governor should be someone who's sound at finances and economics. And what his views are on Brexit or not shouldn't really matter. He needs a dude who can energise the bank, okay?
You know, I wish you could see my expression behind the mic each time I hear an answer. Jiggy, let's get you involved here. Second quarter GDP numbers set to come out in 2 weeks in the UK. All of this amid a global slowdown. What are you forecasting? What do you expect?
Well, so for the numbers itself, I think what we have seen so far with the UK growth is that it's not doing too badly, but a little bit sluggish nonetheless. 0.3% was what we've last seen for the main numbers. So if you break down to some of the recent items that we've seen, retail sales not faring too badly on the consumer side, and then you have wage inflation actually been there as well. But on the other hand, you do have the manufacturing output actually seeing a little bit of a slowdown. So in turn for the GDP number, that has a great effect. So in that sense, I think generally the market's just really looking towards that sluggish situation, not too different from the rest of the world, because with the fact that we have this Brexit issue really coming on a little bit stronger perhaps in the next 100 days, that's going to keep perhaps the Bank of England on hold for some time at least. That is what I'm expecting. So something to watch as an indication, but I think the Brexit item is, well, of greater importance at this point.
Yeah, it's just going to keep popping up every time. Chris, actually, you know what? This just came to mind. By the way, I am speaking to Chris Humphrey, Executive Director at EU-ASEAN Business Council and Pan Jingyi Market Strategist for IG. If, let's say, Jeremy Hunt, important to keep him, if he doesn't stay as Foreign Secretary, what do you think's next for him?
Trip back to the back benches. And yet another person on the back benches will be sniping at Boris Johnson constantly, which is why I think Johnson will keep him inside the cabinet in some post or other.
So he really doesn't want to be in a similar situation as Theresa May, where you've got so many backbenchers, in layman terms, making a lot of comments, making life difficult for you.
He'll want to have the new leader bounce coming in, and he will get that for some period of time.
Yeah.
But there are certainly people who are very vocal and very prominent on the backbenches, like Alan Duncan, like Hammond as well, who will not miss a chance to put the knife in his back.
And finally, I kind of feel bad for this lady, but what do you think Theresa May's legacy will be? Because she had an impossible job.
She had an impossible job, and she was the only person prepared to take it on. And I think history in the longer term will be kinder to her than we are perhaps going to be today and in the short. She did best she could in a very difficult situation. She made mistakes. Calling that general election was probably a mistake.
Sure.
But I think ultimately she did not do a bad job as Prime Minister.
In the studio with me, Chris Humphrey, Executive Director at EU-ASEAN Business Council, as well as Pan Jingyi, Market Strategist for IG. Guys, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about this. And dude, have a good weekend in advance, yeah?
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.